Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com, which I will link to below this interview. Craig, broadly, we have seen a little bit of a pullback from this feared trade that really kicked into high gear as Russia started to invade Ukraine. A little less, I guess, war fears or less escalation, although let's face it, that war is still ongoing. And quite frankly, that fear trade, even though we've seen a bit of a pullback in commodities, in the dollar, in precious metals, they do seem to be basing at higher levels. And one of the big takeaways for me is that during the day, intraday trading, we are having some support come into these markets, almost like a buy the dip mentality. Now, not the same as we saw in the U.S. equity markets over the last about year now. But fact of the matter is, it does seem like these commodities, at least for now, are basing at higher levels. Let's start there, Craig. What have you noticed in terms of some of the intraday trading in commodities or precious metals?
Well, Corey, I'm not so sure it's a fear trade at this point. I'm not sure that's the term I'd use. I think it's more of a repercussion trade, you know, where this really got crazy early in the week was after all the action last week of excluding the Russian banks and central bank from SWIFT, Russia saying, you know, that they're not going to allow any more natural resource exports. Biden coming out on whatever Monday or Tuesday saying U.S. isn't going to import any more Russian crude oil. You know, Russia threatening to shut down even Nord Stream 1. You know, what that meant for like hard asset metals like or base metals like nickel and tin, zinc, the rest, palladium. These are long term repercussions. This is not, you know, so I'm not so sure that what was going on in the commodities, even in the grains, is a fear trade as much as it is an economic repercussion trade. I would caution people. I mean, at my site, we look at technicals because we know banks and other market participants are going to try to influence price at key technical levels. I would really caution people from paying too much attention to technicals at this point in the shape of candlesticks and things like that. I would, outside of maybe RSI and other momentum technical indicators, I think those are probably important. You know, we all know, you know, the adage of, you know, the sharpest rallies are bear market rallies, right? We've all heard that before, like in the stock market and the like. And why is that? Because you get, frankly, you get oversold and everybody gets short. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get these air pockets back up that are really violent. Well, that's kind of what happened back on Wednesday. We had everybody, myself included, on Tuesday, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, you know, they're shutting down the nickel market in London, you know, and wheat has been limit up 5 days in a row, that kind of stuff. That got to a point of hysteria, even in the stocks. I mean, what the GDX intraday got to like an 80 on the RSI. And again, when you get that overbought, that extended, you're just due for these really, really sharp pullbacks. And now we're kind of basing again. And I'll give you one more thing, Corey, that I want to make sure everybody saw, man. Those, besides the CPI yesterday, which we know is the highest since now 1982. Today's University of Michigan consumer sentiment and inflation expectations were the worst. I mean, just really bad numbers. One, the sentiment is indicative of stagflation and a economic slowdown, which you got to figure is coming. Even the Atlanta GDP now is not even 1% for this quarter. But the inflation expectations are the highest since 1981. And see, that's important because gold is rallying, sure, on all of this stuff, but it's also rallying on what is now the Powell pivot and this idea that, you know, that the Fed was never going to hike rates seven times anyway, where they were certainly never going to get rates up above the rate of inflation to turn real rates positive. And real rates have come cascading back down and are now sharply negative again. In fact, as sharply negative versus expectations, I mean, interest rate, nominal interest rate expectations, as sharply negative as they were in August of 2020. So, you look at that and you think, oh, well, okay, well, no wonder gold got back up to 2060 or whatever it was earlier this week. So, again, there's just a number of things here. I don't want to, I just don't want to, I'd caution people against getting too simplistic in thinking, you know, it's, well, gold went up because of this war. No, there's a lot more going on here than just that.
So, Craig, I guess with this outlook, right, and we can combine some of the war trade into these price moves, why isn't gold higher then? It sounds like the perfect storm for gold, because if anything goes the opposite direction here, you would think that might be gold negative.
Well, we're talking about the price in derivatives, Corey, and we got to remember who trades the derivatives, mainly HFT machines, you know, bank traders and the like, and they're taking their cues from what? Well, the bond market has sold off about 30 basis points this week. 10-year note was 175 last Friday. Now it's 205. Higher nominal rates. The dollar is pushing, what is it, 99?
99, just over 99 again.
So there's a couple reasons right there. While for our machines that are just pre-programmed to trade off of those cues would be, you know, kind of keeping a lid on the derivative price this week. Again, but real rates are, I think, part of the reason why these dips keep getting bought. Look, the main big, I mean, there's some really, really big picture things going on here that people need to keep track of. And, you know, and this thing of excluding the Russians from SWIFT, the news today that Russia has passed a bill in their Duma to allow their banks to sell gold directly to its citizens. I mean, at no VAT, no value added tax. I mean, these are epochal type changes that are taking place right before our eyes. And again, it's happening so fast that a lot of people aren't seeing these things as they happen. So I would just, again, it doesn't mean there's not going to be volatility. I mean, gold's down $4 as we've been speaking. But it, you know, the value of your precious metal didn't go down $4 as we've been speaking. And I really want to encourage people to keep their eye on the kind of the long term, you know, on the ball going forward.
Craig, what do you think about that US dollar? Because it is back up there, right? And I think that is or has to do a little bit with the fear trade. As much as we don't want to attribute everything to a fear trade, the dollar has screamed higher. So what's your takeaway from that environment? Also, on the flip side of that, Europe continuing to struggle. The euro has been hit hard.
Right. It's a safe haven trade, first and foremost, sure. But yeah, as you said, the euro is what, 58% of the dollar index? And what do we know about the euro? The European banks are all getting set to be paid. Their Russian debt payments are going to come in rubles. The EU banks have had a particularly tough time over the last month or so. Some of the lowest prices we've seen in 5 years. And so what did the ECB say yesterday? Well, we're going to kind of take this as we go. The ECB has nothing they can do other than print cash to buy bonds to try to keep all of those banks afloat and themselves afloat. So why is the dollar going up? Yeah, okay, yeah, you know, safe haven, got to buy myself some dollars and that sort of thing. But it's mainly because the euro is going to the toilet for all those reasons that I mentioned. And so again, okay, so if that prompts a machine to sell gold futures, well, what does that have to do with gold? You know what I mean? And so it's just really, really important for people to understand and really take a step back and look at the big picture. I'll give you one more thing, Corey, that people really need to be aware of. You know, the commodity pullback this week, that what happened in nickel was almost criminal in some regards, as you had the short squeeze of this Chinese cat, you know, short all these, you know, 100,000 metric tons of nickel or whatever it was. And price goes up and the LME just shuts down the market, resets the price lower from 80,000 to 50,000, cancels like $4 billion, just cancels $4 billion worth of trades and shuts it down. I haven't, you know, why is wheat down from almost $13 to 11? Well, I don't know if this is true of every broker dealer, but it probably is. I know on my Schwab futures account, there have been no opening trades allowed in wheat or corn futures options since Wednesday. So, I mean, you get to these points where these markets just say, oh, you know what, I'm sorry. We can't take the risk. Our members can't take the risk. We're just going to scurry and shut everything down. So when you're left with more sellers than buyers, right? Down it goes. You know, I'll give you one more. Corey, while I'm talking, LME just put this out. About an hour ago, as we speak. It's what? 1 o'clock Eastern. This came out about an hour ago. A statement from the LME on the nickel market, which again has been closed now since Tuesday. They were hoping to open today and they said, no, we're going to wait till Monday. We'll see about Monday. Do you remember when, was it Bush who said I saved the free market by going away from, remember that?
That was a while ago.
Does this sound like that? LME statement, in the interests of systemic stability and market integrity, we suspended the market as soon as we could and canceled trades.
Well, isn't that the same as limit down in major markets, right? Markets do shut down when we see outsized moves.
Canceled trades.
Yeah, that's crazy.
In the interest of market integrity, we canceled trades. That's an oxymoron right there, isn't it? So anyway, I just keep coming back to this. I mean, this is a time, if you own mining shares, you just got to ride the storm out and understand, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. But this is the time for what I do. This is where you should be buying physical metal and taking possession of it and not worrying so much about the price, because it's the value that matters.
Well, in the mining shares, if they're mining and they're larger, they've done well. If they're juniors, they have not done as well. So we still need that money to trickle down. But I think it also just shows that people are a little bit tighter with some of their money right now. In terms of next week, I feel like we do need to quickly touch on the upcoming Fed rate hike. The market got a little ahead of itself when it was saying maybe it would be a 50 basis point hike. Seems like it's going to be a 25 basis point hike, and everyone's going to be hanging on Jerome Powell's words, wondering what the forecast looks like for just the next meeting, let alone the rest of the year. What do you think is going to be important to watch in terms of market moves on the back of this upcoming rate hike?
Well, I don't see how 25 basis points gets crude oil back down to 80. You know what I mean?
Process, though. Like, we do need to admit, if they can get through 4, 5, 6,
yeah,
that's more of the issue.
Dude, I don't know. That whole notion that they're going to hike 7 times or whatever, you know, it was just a month ago. Not even a month ago, that was the idea, 7 or 8 rate hikes. And I know we talked a month ago, you know, I was saying they're never going to be able to hike enough to get real rates positive before you get a pivot. And so I still think they're hanging on the edge. You know, they're going to do whatever they can. They'll get it up as high as they possibly can before they can't take it any higher, just so they have room to cut again. That's all it's going to turn into. And so we'll let them do their thing, and everybody will, you know, be on the edge of their seats waiting to see what Powell has to say. But I saw already, it was just yesterday, before the market, an article from Bloomberg, an opinion piece, saying that Powell should go ahead and hike next week, but then hold off on future rate hikes given the uncertainty of the, you know, geopolitics. Well, there's your first trial balloon right there. I mean, from the mouthpiece of the Fed. So we'll see. Other stuff next week is going to be equally or as important. You know, the PPI, I think that's Monday. That'll get people's attention. There'll be some other data. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all going to kind of come back to where we go from here geopolitically, how much crazier the economic stuff gets, the sanctions get against Russia, what that means for commodities, what then that trickles down to in terms of prices and how sticky inflation is. And again, all of these impacts are now going to continue to be felt in the months ahead, regardless of, you know, whether they, you know, strike some kind of uneasy peace on the ground.
Yeah, that's, again, what we're all waiting for, right? It's still a headline-driven market, and we have this Russia-Ukraine war that is ongoing. We don't know which way it's going to go, but Russia sure isn't backing down, and Ukraine is continuing to put up a fight, and everyone else is standing on the sidelines throwing sanctions around. So it is a wild world, but again, we have Fed rate hikes starting next week, and boy, oh boy, let's see where these markets go. Either way, if you're an investor in commodities, you have done very well, and I think you need to be pretty happy with some of your gains. But yeah, we just continue to be in very, very uncharted territory in terms of just how extreme some of these moves are. But hey, Craig, great chatting with you as always, buddy. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you, Corey. You just made me think of one last thing before we go. Again, everybody looks at the GDX, which is what, 39-ish? And we get frustrated because it's not back to 46 yet. But at the same time, the last time we had a Fed meeting 6 weeks ago, it was 29. So,
there you go. We don't usually see precious metals or precious metal stocks rise into a rate hike either. That's what makes this one so different.
So again, that's the hard part is not getting caught. Not getting caught up in the tick for tick and trying to keep your eye on the bigger picture of what's going on here. So anyway, thank you, Corey. It's always good to talk to you.